Glory to Jesus Christ. So technology and Christian life, where should I start? I have to confess that when I started to prepare for this retreat, I looked through my books and I asked myself, where are the fathers? What will fathers and elders say about this topic? And I came to the conclusion that I'm in a little bit of trouble. I'm in trouble because we still don't have saints and elders who have experienced the digital age and its fullness. We have some contemporary elders and saints who experienced the first wave of televisions, but we will hardly read about saints who gives advice about cell phones, cell phone usage, and internet usage. So I researched a little bit, and then I found some great lecture series which was done by Father Josiah Tretham, and he also, through the lectures, guided me to one more elder, Elder Alimianos. So today my talk will rely on the elder and Father Josiah, and I thank God for them because I think I would not be as prepared for this quote-unquote lecture as I am, even though I'm still hesitant to say anything about it. During some research, I came to the conclusion that if we don't take over technology, they don't take control over technology within our life, we can find ourselves in a lot of trouble. Trouble meaning spiritual warfare and spiritual drought within our lives. Since there are three of us, Father David, Subdeacon Tim, and I, who will be presenting, I chose to do the negative portion, and this is what I want to talk about. I will talk about the negative aspects of technology within our life, or how can even harmless technology take control over us. Now, I'm not just going to preach to you and try to change your life and become a better Christian, because for the past week, I've taken the rules that I'll share with you at the end of the lecture, and I put them within my life, and I will share with you those rules. If I cannot live what I preach, then I should not be standing here. So I put all these rules into practice, and just by living this lifestyle for a week, not even for a week, for 3 days, keeping these rules as strictly as I can tell you that I have wasted so many hours each day for past decade. That is, if I use those hours correctly meaning, if I use those hours Godward, my soul would be in much better shape than it is right now. All the extra time would have allowed for a much greater deepening in faith in Christ. That being said, I'll share with you the negatives, and then Father David and Subdeacon Tim will finish this retreat on a positive note, I hope. So, evil technologies. Here's the thing, whether we like it or not, we are at the mercy of technology from the beginning. If you look at our forefather, Adam, we will read in the scripture that he was naked in simplicity. Adam's pure occupation in paradise was contemplation and gazing upon God. And Saint Gregory adds and says that Adam was a farmer of immortal plants. So through agriculture in Eden, he would be constantly occupied with God. But the technology came into the picture after the fall. And if we read Old Testament carefully, we will realize that certain people from Cain's side made certain tools, but even they made them with the thought that they want to gaze upon God. And they want to have dominion over earth also. But God was always in the center. I think it's beautiful to see that they made technology to make them to cultivate the ground faster so they can have more time to contemplate God. Same thing happened on Mount Athos, where a monk had to feed about 1,000 monks. So he invented a mechanical kneading device, which was powered by mules, I think. So he was, because he wanted to make the production faster, so he didn't have to miss the prayers, and so that he was not the cause of his brother monks for them to miss the prayers. Again, this monk was thinking Godward. How can I make this in order to put God in the center? And other monasteries in the past have become the sources of technological advancement, with a thought and idea that if I can make this a little bit faster, I get to be with God a little bit longer. Now let's get back to a present time. Where is technology? Technology is everywhere. Look at this, even this building. We have about 100 light bulbs here, and you can turn them all with just one button, one little tiny button. And I still haven't figured out how to turn them off. I'm old school, give me a switch, click, click. You know, I don't do buttons. Or we have live stream, and when you press one button, you're live. And the whole world sees you, listens to you, judges you. That's why I turned it off today. So if you want to judge me, come here. But let's narrow the focus a little bit more. 1981, first personal computer. 1983, first personal cell phone. Now compare it to iPhone 14. You could, you know, hurt somebody with that brick in 1983. What a difference. Or internet, 1993. I'm older than internet. Yay. And some of you have experienced the slow change. Some of you have been born into this technological and digital revolution. And ever since these events, we try to push technology into its limits, which is great. But this digital era created many bad things. And here's a small list. I created about 9 points where I see that people struggle with. Technology, because of technology, we became dumber and less knowledgeable. I bet you if we faced older generation and we were quizzed, for example, on the history lessons, they would wipe the floor with us because they learned it not just from books, but they had to memorize it because that knowledge was not as accessible as it is for us. They didn't have to rely on Google, you know, Google it up and there it is. Or our great grandparents would laugh at us, this new generation who can't fix stuff or change a tire. How many of you saw a guy standing on the highway by the car with a flat tire? Like, come on, man, change your tire. And well, I understand that in the way back, the stuff was more simpler and there was not as many computers involved, and I get it, but you get my point. We became lazy because of technology. The more we are involved in technology, the lonelier we feel. This past pandemic was a great example. How many suicides were there during the lockdowns and even afterwards? Why people killed themselves when there was this great internet at their disposal? At the end of the day, binge watching TV or playing games for absurd amount of hours will not give happiness, And this is just abortion, why? But any of these things, they result in greater loneliness. Point number three. The more we are involved in technology, the less we are moved by life. I remember a picture on Facebook, and there was this photographer who took a picture of some kind of a procession in the city. And he took a picture of a crowd. And in the picture, there was one lady who was leaning on a barricade, smiling, looking what's coming to her. And she was in peace. You could see it. She was in peace. She was just still, in present. And then all around her, you could see people with their phones, trying to take a picture, get the best angle, trying to push people around so they can get the best picture. Who do you think got the best experience from that moment? It was not the people with the picture. It was the lady who was enjoying her life. She wasn't present. The lady was living in the moment, making real mental memory, while the others were trying to catch and capture something they could not. They could not capture this moment because the moment was captured by a machine with no feelings. That is why if you go through my phone, I'll make myself as an example, you would see much less pictures of my daughter, even when she smiles, because I want to be in the present. And I want to enjoy it, make a mental memory. Picture won't capture happiness. Or I will use another example. Many times since I have a huge, beautiful icon screen, a lot of people come to this church or my other church on Southside and they want to take picture of it. They come in, they look around, they snap a couple of pictures, and usually it happens before liturgy, and then they leave. And I always ask myself, well, what do you get from this? I don't get to ask them this question. I wish I could. But, if you approach the icon and you're captured by its beauty and you take a picture of it and you move on, the beauty is lost. You're not captured anymore. You're not collecting the thoughts that those icons bring within you. And at the end of the day, once you take a picture, it probably takes a half a day before that picture is already lost in your phone. So I wish I could ask those people, what are your thoughts about this? Or has anybody saw the movie Man of God? Okay, I'll give you a spoiler. Don't hurt me. Okay. So there is a scene in the movie where Saint Nectarios is kneeling in the dirt, contemplating the beauty of a flower. He didn't go, oh, that's nice, click, picture. He was moved by the flower. He took the flower in his hands and he was visibly so happy to see God's creation. He was being in the present. And that's what we need to be. We need to be in the present. Point number four. The more we are involved in technology, the less worshipful we are. And I will split this into two. Worshipful at home and worshipful at the church. When we pray at home, we have to make sure that our phones and all the screens are shut off so far that you cannot even hear the notification. And even then, when the anxiety kicks in, what if somebody texts me? likes my status on Facebook. I got to see it. And our mind is already taken away from God. At home, where we are the most comfortable, we need to create an environment where we are forced to be quiet, forced to leave our cell phones and really focus on what is the most important thing in our life. Now, second part is worship at church is much more difficult because of two things. Again, two things: live stream and phones. Now, ever since I was ordained a deacon for about 2 years now, I have experienced growth of screen illumined faces before and during divine liturgy. And when I saw these people use phones in the church, my immediate feeling was to take their phone and throw it against the wall, so that phone becomes thousands of pieces, thousands of phones, so they can, you know, have more phones with them. But then I grew up a little bit, and now I just feel sorry for them, because they come to church and they don't realize how precious this space is, how precious it is to be in front of the Eucharist and pray. What's more important than God? Taking a picture. If your priest asks you to take a picture during liturgy, that's a little bit different. I do it all the time. But if you are searching through internet and replying to texts, or even picking up a cell phone call, then it's not acceptable. Another thing that I just thought of is, many times you can see the influx of people coming to church almost on time. Sometimes I'm incensing and people are coming in rushing, and then they feel awkward because you are in the back of the church with the censer. Like, well, what are you gonna do? You can't run me over. You know, so you're gonna stand outside or what? And this is a result of us almost treating church as a show. When we come to church, we should really set aside all earthly things as we pray during the great entrance. We have to force ourselves to mute our brain from radio that we listen to on our way to church, or podcast, or TV that we watch in the morning. And that's why church offers preparatory prayers for divine liturgy, and they take about 20-25 minutes. And that's around the time where your mind ceases to think about worldly things and starts to think about God, about us, ourselves. So that's a side point. Now, about live stream, I live stream very much. I'm actually so happy that our Southside Church does not have live stream, because it brings a lot of peace. And I understand during the pandemic, priests and people wanted to try, and were trying to do their best to open the church so we can worship, so people can still pray. And even Subdeacon Tim, you did a wonderful job at the beginning of removing everything from your parents' downstairs basement to create a chapel. And I think that you did like 3 services a day or something like that. It was great. Thank God. Good use of technology. But again, good things turn really bad real quickly. And now I hear so many priests complain that they cannot turn off their live stream because people got adjusted. Sunday, I'll watch liturgy later, or never. Or if I watch it, I will watch it in my pajamas, sipping up a little bit of coffee, maybe have a little breakfast with it too. Or I remember there was a huge scandal, huge case where there was one lady who bought herself a chalice and wafers. And while she was watching mass, she put chalice in front of the TV with the wafers in it, thinking that consecration, where bread is transferred into body and blood, will somehow transfer to the TV, and that miraculously she'll have a Eucharist in her living room. Insanity. No good. Livestream make people, livestream made people make stupid excuses because they're lazy. What makes them even more sad is that my brother's priest shared with me sad stories of families of small children, and that they send, the parents send them picture of child watching TV or the liturgy while they're at the ball game or other unholy places. Or when parents say, we can't come for evening liturgy, evening festal liturgy, because it's too late. And yet the kids stay up way past 10 p.m. No judgment, but now you see how damaging technology within church and our prayer life can be. Technology is distancing children from church. Then hopefully future fathers and mothers, think about this. It's very important. And then the church, because of technology, becomes a place where you might or might not come, and it becomes not a home anymore. During, I would say 8 years ago, when I was still in my home parish, my father started to do evening divine liturgies, a little bit longer than that, maybe 10 years. At the beginning, no parents would come with their children because of the same excuse. It's too late, you know, we can't make it. And then after a few years, one family started to come, and then another, and then another. And now, parents have to literally drag their children out of the church. Not by like, oh, come on, let's go. Literally by a neck, let's go home because it's too late. They are growing a generation where church is becoming their home. Church is becoming the first place, and then their home is becoming second. There was one, I think it was my godson who said that he was told, let's go home. And his response was, but I am home. It's good upgrading of children. Point number five, the more we are involved in technology, the less healthy we are. And I like the meme or a picture of this on Facebook, this skinny guy standing next to a huge big box TV, and then the next image is a big guy and a flat screen TV. You don't have to say much more. The image says it all, you know. Point number six, the more we are involved in technology, the more we are anxious, curious, depressed, and have mental breakdowns. And I also think that because of these things, this gender and ideology is on rise. We cannot go online and watch TV without getting bombarded by inappropriate content. Point number seven, the more we are involved in technology, the more bored we are. And I made a couple of sub-points. So first one, let me ask you this. How many times do you think you check your phone? Anybody has an answer? A day. Like how many times you pick up your phone? Anybody? That's not the answer. 100? Okay, it's actually around 300 on average. That's just picking up the phone. Another question. When do you get this vibration on your leg so you have to check your phone? Is that a thing that happens even though your phone is not there? Yeah. Happens during liturgy all the time to me. I don't have a phone on me, but how crazy is that? How crazy is it that we get attached to this little thing? We overuse our social media. And I mean, how many apps does one need to have to become social? How many hours do we spend on TikTok, YouTube, or Facebook Reels? You know, we start scrolling and hour is gone. It's not good. Or our web browsing. Does our web browsing have a specific thing that we need to accomplish, or are we just doing it for fun? There's a sea of meaningless information floating around. And I got these numbers from Father Josiah, which he did this talk in 2019. So that's the research then. And he said that in 2019, there was 12% of pornography sites online. How about now? I bet the number is even higher. We cannot browse for no reason. Also, on a side point, sin of lust is becoming less and less confessed sin, because lust is becoming normalized through this social media. And for some reason it's being normalized because society tells us it's okay. Be yourself. It's not. It's not good. It's not normal. Point number 8. The more we are involved in technology, the more our families become fractured. Very little families have a set dinner time where everybody comes to eat together. And I know some of you are high school students, you look so young, college students, forgive me. How about your friends? If you live in a dorm, why can't you have dinner together? Just talk about the day without any technology. And if family gets together once in a while, most of the family starts staring at the screens and they are not talking to each other. My wife always says to me when we pass a booth in a restaurant and she sees a teenager sitting with their grandma or grandpa eating together, more like, well, one is on their phone and usually the grandparents are the ones staring into the phone too. Not the phone, but to the teenager. And she always says to me, I just wanna punch that kid. I would love to see it. Maybe one day she'll have the courage to actually give a meaningful punch. But she wants to punch them because she wants them to make sure that they realize who they have and what they have in front of them rather than the screen. We waste time, we create divides in our relationships, and we put literally physical barrier between us and our loved ones. And we are not being in the present. The same thing when you go with friends to restaurant. Leave your phone in the car. Enjoy the moment. Nothing is more important. If something bad happens, it already happened. You know, it's not that we can change it. Point number 9. Technology prevents us to find silence. which is so important for a spiritual life. Try to sit down at home and sit in silence for 10 minutes. At first, you will go crazy because you'll have so many things to think about. So many ideas, so many things that what you could be doing right now. So many anxieties in life. And are we distracted by the screens? Like we are living like a zombie life. But then if we create silence for ourselves to start fighting these thoughts, imagine our prayer life. Imagine if we sit at our house or room for 10 minutes every single day and we fight the silence and we get used to the silence where there are very little thoughts and more thoughts about God, and then we start and then we include prayer in that silence. How powerful that prayer can be. But how much less powerful the prayer is when we are in a noise, even though we might not think we are. I like the story from Archimandrite Zechariah Zakaru, where he was asked a similar question. You know, they found a gentleman asked, "Father, when I pray, I get distracted. What do I do? Because every time I get distracted, I want to stop and I stop praying." And Father Zechariah, he says that, and he used himself as an example of what he did and how he conquered that noise. And he said, if you pray, and if you catch yourself thinking about something else rather than prayers, stop, turn to Christ icon, say, "Lord, forgive me," and continue. And even if you have to break the prayer, which might take 5 minutes, 200 times, stop, ask for forgiveness, reset, and pray. And then he said that over time, you find that the prayer is so much deeper because you are fully in. You fully understand the feeling of the prayer. Going back to my talk. Have you seen the movie Top Gun? Yeah? The original. The new one is good too. But in the original movie, there's a scene where Maverick made a dangerous move with the plane, and Goose, his co-pilot, wanted to reprimand him. Do you know that sequence? No? Okay. And while the scene was on, my wife said to me, "Look at Maverick. What was he doing?" He was sitting at the table in silence. No phone, no TV, no radio, just him and his thoughts. And it was quite a good scene. If you have time, go watch it. And when my wife said that, I told myself, wouldn't it be great to experience that kind of freedom again? I think subconsciously, both Sarah and I are trying to create something like this at our rectory. And I'll let you how it goes down the road, but one thing what Sarah and I try to do is when there's a special holiday, we like to watch a movie together as a family. And Miron watched a movie 2 times with us. And every time we sit him on the couch or, you know, in his bear chair, he got bored. He didn't like the TV. You know, he started to play with his toys. He wanted to be held. He was roaming around the room, but the TV was not capturing him at all. It's no surprise, because usually what he does is he plays in our living room or upstairs in silence, just with his toys. It's important to cultivate that from the beginning. Because once they get used to TV screen or if you see young children with bigger phones than I have, you know, you ask yourself, what else do they have? How else are they stimulated where they should be just kids? Something to think about. Okay, I have a couple of quotes from Saint Paisios. There are actually two quotes. First quote is on how TV is damaging our souls, especially to the youthful ones. He says, "Television has done a great damage. It's especially destructive for children. A 7-year-old child came to the Hermitage once, the monastery, and I saw the demon of television speaking through the child's mouth, exactly as demons speak through the mouth of the possessed. It was like a baby born with teeth. It's that easy to find normal kids. They are turning into little monsters." I love that. And you see, they don't get to think for themselves. They only repeat what they have heard or seen on the TV. That's why they have come up with television to begin with, to make people numb and dumb, so they will take what they hear and see on television for a fact and act accordingly. Isn't that truth in today's age? Yikes. And he lived at the very beginning of TVs. Second quote. "Mothers must be helped to understand that television dulls their children's mind. They lose the ability to think on their own, to think critically, not to mention the damage it causes to their eyesight." And we are talking about man-made television. But there is another kind of spiritual television, when people uproot their old self and the eyes of the soul are cleansed. They can see into the future without the aid of any machines. Have they told their children about this kind of other television? If they won't, these boxes will make our children dumb. I would love to meet Elder Paisios. He's so down to earth, says what he feels. Love it. And I don't know about you, but I think that we get abused by technology without our knowledge. For sure, there could be many more things that I could talk about, but I don't want this, my talk, my speech, to become an information dump. I only pointed out the most common things that I either experienced or heard from my brother priests. So if one of these points touched you and you know that you are struggling with it, the best way to deal with it is to go to your spiritual father and talk about these problems. Don't let these points go untouched, unconfessed. That being said, let me share with you a few points how we can start journey towards Christ without screen or very little screen. As I mentioned in the introduction, I've taken some of the rules from Father Josiah's talk and I put them into my life. I was not easy on myself and I was very serious because I wanted to challenge myself for today. But there were some rules that made no sense, so I left them out. I did not include them. So here are the rules that I lived by for the whole week. Ready? Go to bed after your phone. I have a priestly life, and in a way, I have to be on the phone almost 24/7. But since I learned about these rules, I moved my phone to my office, where it can charge peacefully while I charge peacefully somewhere else. I can still hear the phone when I'm in the bed in case of emergency. And also, I have experienced that my eyes were not as tired. Think about the blue light from your phone. I googled it. It takes about 2 to 3 hours before your eyes are rested from the blue light. 2 to 3 hours. So if you put your phone at 7 somewhere and you don't touch it and you go to bed at 10, then your eyes are rested. I wonder what could be done in that amount of time. Maybe a spiritual reading or praying from prayer book. What's the excuse now for us? I certainly loved this week. So, rule number 2, get up before your phone. You can go on Amazon and buy an alarm clock. You don't need to have your phone as an alarm. So what do I do for this past week? Even though I was tired preparing for this retreat, my wife is my alarm clock for this week. But for next week, I'll be trying to use my non-phone alarm clock. But what was the routine for this week? When I got up, we go as a family to our prayer room, we pray. Then after prayers, restroom, clean up. And I don't take my phone, but I just check it, just in case there's some kind of a message that I need to tend to. If there's nothing serious, phone is put back, breakfast. And after breakfast, I can have my phone. And I basically tried not to touch my phone until it was needed. But Father Josiah also says, basically don't touch your phone until you do your morning prayers. Number 3, I already said, but I included in a different point. Don't use your phone until you did your prayers in the morning. Rule number 4, we must have clear reason to use our phone during the day. Do not be bored with your phone. Don't check it unnecessarily. It creates a lot of good time, either in silence or praying, reading, preparing for myself for homily. And if you're studying, you'll study much harder, believe me. Rule number 5, dinner table is family and friends time. No phones, be in the present, even if you're by yourself. If you're by yourself, be alone with your thoughts. After all, silence is where God rests. So challenge yourself. Number 6, vacation. My parishioners, listen to this. Or date night. No phones, be in the present. Shut it off. I'll have my phone on for emergencies. But really use that time and spend it with your loved ones fully. Number 7, Lord's Day, Sunday. This is the most challenging rule, I think. It's not the Lord's morning, it's the Lord's whole day. Again, let's try to sanctify that day and have a clear reason to use our phones if we need to. And limit binge watching TV that day. I would also like to share a few hints about our addiction about phones. If we think that we are not addicted to phone, I'll see you at the confession. Okay, let's not lie to ourselves. So here are these points. Are the points that I put in my practice. Turn your phone to grayscale mode. And suddenly the phone becomes very boring. It's like watching a 60s show on your phone. stop, wasn't. All the vivid colors are researched so they capture our eye and make us addicted. These big tech companies, they know what they are doing. And they know how to catch our attention, even through just colors. So go boring, go grayscale. Number two, check your real-time cell phone usage. Check the apps and see if those apps are needed in your life. And if you need them, how can you lower the usage of those apps? And usage that is not necessary in our life, usage that is not necessary in our life is life wasted. Number three, limit how many times we check the phone. On average, we check our phone 300 times. Let's bop it down a little bit. I think Monday and Tuesday, I've probably touched my phone probably 100 times. Was very cautious of this. Number four, change unnecessary notifications, especially on social media. Now you don't have to see every like or every message. If you change it, if you go boring, you'll see that you have a lot of other things. At least I saw it, that I have a lot of things in my life. Number five, find triggers that make you stay on phone for a long time. Music, YouTube, TikTok. Number six, have more face-to-face meetings rather than FaceTime or phone calls. Make going to get coffee with your friends great again. If you choose to print the t-shirt out, I want some percentage back for this slogan, okay? And my wife, when she was reading through this lecture, she added one more point. Remove tempting and addictive apps from the main screen. It's much difficult to go to an app when there is no button for it. And you find yourself, if you get yourself less yearning to go. So these are the rules and suggestions. And let me move to my last point, evil versus good. Technology. So I understand that I did not make technology look good, and you might want to oppose me saying that technology is more important in our lives, and I will agree with you. The technology is important to a certain point, and we need to thank God for technology. For example, when somebody gets a heart attack, they usually get a stent in their heart. Do you know how they put that stent in their heart? They go through one of the main veins and they navigate all the way to the heart. How cool is that? You have very little time to... very little place to navigate. That's a pretty cool and good way to use technology. I'm sure that you have many stories where technology was that one thing that made your life easier or even saved your life. So I won't say more about this because Father David is coming after me and Subdeacon Tim. And they will talk to you about technology, how technology can be used for good. It's my last thought. My wife is showing me the watch. My last thought for confusion is that, as Elder Alimianos says, we need to cultivate certain moderation and simplicity in our life. If we are bored with technology, and if technology takes us away from God, away from prayer, away from family, then we need to start to rethink our use of technology and apply some restraint and to be more spiritually vigilant towards the evil technology Thank you for listening. God bless you. In your Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.